This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Good evening. This is Rockash, your host this week on People Speak Radio. The People Speak invites audience participation. You can listen in by phone calling 716-748-0144. Or if you have a smartphone or a computer, go to bbsradio.com, navigate to Station 2, click on the listen icon. You can also participate during the show. Call in questions for our guests in the United States and Canada, 1-888-429-5471. Tonight, our guest is Wolfgang Halbig. Wolfgang is a former Florida State Trooper. He is also formerly an executive director of the National Institute for School and Workplace Safety. Wolfgang was also an educator and also a director for school safety and security in Seminole County Public Schools. A school district that Wolfgang says Sandy Hook was a hoax, and he's here to tell us why. Sandy, prior to the show, you asked me to concentrate on 10 questions. There aren't any answers for those questions. So welcome to the show, Wolfgang, and please fill us in on why you think Sandy Hook was a scam on the American people.
Well, first of all, thanks for allowing me to be with you tonight. And, you know, it's 16 questions. You know, if you go to www.sandyhookjustice.com, you'll see those 16 questions that every American, everyone that's listening to your program tonight, they deserve an answer. And I've been trying to do this for 10 months using the legal way to do it. It's called the Connecticut Freedom of Information Act. And, Rock, these are the most simple, basic questions that the national news media failed to ask. I mean, think about it. CNN, ABC, NBC, here are these questions that they did not even bother to ask. And tonight you and I will have a chance to go over them. And I wouldn't be here today. I promise you, nobody would have ever heard of Wolfgang had two homicide detectives from the Lake County Sheriff's Office here in Florida come to my house and threaten me to stop asking questions about the Sandy Hook shooting. Or guess what? The Connecticut State Police were going to come and file charges, felony charges against me for harassment. For what? Asking simple, basic questions that we're going to go over tonight. And I hope all your listeners hold these people accountable.
They came to your house and they threatened to throw you in jail?
Absolutely.
For what? For freedom?
Rock, I'm a
there's no laws
citizen.
Against freedom of speech.
I came to this country at age 12. I couldn't speak a word of English. And I cannot tell you, one of the greatest day in my life is when I'm standing in Abilene, Texas, in the federal court. I'm raising my right hand, and the judge swears me in, and he says, congratulations, you are now a U.S. citizen. Rock, I got goosebumps on my arm. It's the greatest privilege that somebody can have. But one thing that I learned about citizenship, you have a right to ask questions. And when I became a teacher, American history and American government, I challenged every one of my students in high school never to be afraid to ask questions. And now look at this. I'm 67 years old, and they're coming to my house telling me not to ask questions.
Well, that seems to be the thing going on these days. They want to shut up the people that are waking up the sheep, as I want to put it in direct. There's nothing to direct towards it. It's just straight imperialism going to war against people who want to speak. What can we do, Wolfgang?
Well,
how do we attack this?
Tonight in our discussion, you have to pretend, okay, every one of the listeners tonight, you know, open up your heart, open up your thinking hat and pretend that on December the 14th, 2012, you had a child at Sandy Hook Elementary School, whether you're a parent, a grandparent, a guardian. Pretend on that morning that you had a child at that school, and all of a sudden, over the radio or text messages, you get the word that shots have been fired at Sandy Hook Elementary School. I can promise you, parents, your heart will stop, and then it starts racing. You're going to get in that car, and you're going to drive as fast as you can, and you're going to get to Sandy Hook Elementary School. You're going to get as close as you can to that school, and guess what? You want to save your child. That is a parent's natural instinct, is to save their child. Rock, nobody even got close to the school. All these parents stayed up at the firehouse. I have never seen that in my 36 years in public service, national school safety consultant, state trooper. What are the parents doing that morning? They weren't even down looking to see what was happening inside the school. So,
well, I heard separate reports that FEMA was at that firehouse that you're talking about.
Well, absolutely. They had a ton of water. They had coffee. They had people checking people in. When did you ever, whether it's Columbine, Paducah, whether it's Virginia Tech, who has ever seen a huge traffic sign already in place the morning of the shooting telling everyone they must sign in? That's unheard of. I want to know who made that happen. I have never seen that before.
Wait, they had to sign in order just to go see if their children were safe.
Well, I don't know who the sign
that's,
was
that's
for.
A joke and a half.
They had Connecticut State Troopers in unmarked car right by the big U. I mean, it's a huge traffic sign. Everyone must. Well, who are they talking to? Is it the people from FEMA? Is it the parents? Is it grandparents? Who is it that's supposed to sign in? I don't know. They won't answer the questions.
Well, maybe all the actors.
Well,
maybe the screen
guild members. We're going to get to that. Hopefully we'll have a chance here real quickly to talk about the 16 points. And again, I want parents to think about this, your listeners, especially if you're law enforcement officers, if you're paramedics and EMTs. Please help us. Hold me accountable tonight. It's not what Wolfgang Halbig thinks. It shouldn't matter to anybody. What I'm trying to share with you is what's in the police report. As a former Florida State Trooper, I worked many, many homicides. I've seen death. I've seen the pain. I've seen the agony in those parents' eyes when I knock at the door at 4 o'clock in the morning to have to tell somebody their child just died in a car wreck. I understand what grief is and the pain. I never saw any of that rock at Sandy Hook. You got parents who just lost their 7-year-old, 6-year-old, and they're on national television the next day. It's unheard of.
Well, it was unheard of that father that came on, the redheaded guy. I don't remember his name or
Robbie
recall
Parker.
His name. Right, but he was pretty much in the background joking and everything else. And all of a sudden when the cameras came on, oh, he got all straight faced and teary eyed. And I'm like, wait, if my child was to die, there would be no way that I would be in the same demeanor that guy was. I would be so distraught.
You and your wife would be somewhere grieving. I'm going to tell you what. The feeling in your gut, you have just been drained. You have lost the love of your life. You lost the most precious baby. And you're out there on television? No, you're going to be somewhere grieving. Nobody's going to see you for days and days because you're trying to, you know what you're trying to figure out? Why our child? How could this possibly happen? And these people are just having a great time on CNN and ABC and Katie Couric. I mean, I have never seen that before.
Yeah, it seemed like everybody they were into the reviewing was not, you know, hard-pressed or shaken up or scared or anything like that. Even the people that they were interviewing in the parking lot. I could see the children being dramatically, you know, affected by this, but it didn't seem like that. So,
and think about what we said about parents. Can you imagine, parents out there, if you're listening to the show tonight, think about this. You have just got the worst news that your little girl or little boy, your first grader, just died in a school shooting, and they're asking you to go to the medical examiner's office or the morgue, and guess what? The medical examiner, Dr. Carver, he's not going to allow you ever to touch your child or get in contact with your child. All they're going to do is hand you a picture to identify that little baby of yours. You got to be kidding me. Rock, I'd knock that man to the ground. There's not enough police officers that would stop me. I mean, they would have to tie me to a chair. I'm going to go see my baby. I'm going to touch my child. I'm going to kiss my child. I'm going to hug it. I am not going to let that baby just be by themselves. That's just unheard of.
You're absolutely correct, and that's what every parent would do. So, you know, I've also found this very, very suspicious, not only just because nothing made sense at the shooting, but also, you know, just, you know, the erratic hurricane on the East Coast, you know, Hurricane Sandy, and then all of a sudden we've got shooting at Sandy Hook. It's all too coincidental. So I don't know what to make of it.
Well, let me just ask you, let me go through a couple of the questions and see what I hope people will call in. I hope they call, hold me accountable, please. We need everybody now more than ever. America has to come together, and I think Sandy Hook is our rallying point. If there is ever a time in America that we as the people can come together and expose what is happening at Sandy Hook, I think the dominoes will fall. And here's my first question. I want to know who in Washington, somebody had to tell the New Haven FBI offices that when they investigated the Sandy Hook shooting, Rock, it was classified. They were told to classify the Sandy Hook shooting. That has never been heard of in any school shooting. Columbine wasn't classified. Virginia Tech wasn't classified. Why are you having to classify the Sandy Hook shooting? They won't tell me.
Wow. You know what? Wolfgang, this is something that I found strange also. The governor, when he stated, he looked back at somebody, we don't know who he was looking back at, and he had stated that, well, we were spoken to that something like this might play out in our area. Now, I found that absolutely strange. Something like this might play out in your area, you were spoken to? So, if you were spoken to, then you were forewarned. So that threw up the red flag for me right away.
Well, and that's what's important. See, you're catching it. What we have to do as Americans is catch them in their own words. You catch them in lies using their own words. And that's what you just did. You caught the governor in his own words. He's lying. He knows more than he's telling us, okay? And I'm sure a lot of people out there who are listening tonight are saying, well, what can we do? Well, I would urge every one of your listeners tonight to call their congressman, the United States senator, and demand a copy of that FBI investigation report that is supposed to be classified. They ought to demand to see a copy of that report, and if they don't get it, then they need to demand to find out why it's classified. The FBI refuses to respond to us. And I think it's time for us to go after them.
Well, go after them in what sense? I think the best way that we can see, the thing is, militarily, we're falling into their trap if we try to go against them in a revolution, because revolutions always work to their benefits. So I think the best thing that we as a people need to do is to just stop giving them our money, stop paying taxes.
Yeah, but I don't mean revolution. What I'm meaning is that they need to be held, every congressman and every U.S. senator needs to be held accountable, and they need to respond to our questions. And then for another example, question number two, Why or who did not order the trauma helicopters? Can you imagine? We have car accidents, motorcycle accidents, people drowning. We got medevac helicopters in the air immediately. And here we have December 14th, 2012, one of the worst massive supposedly school shootings, and the incident commander, whoever's in charge, does not request the trauma helicopters to come to Sandy Hook. I want to know why.
You and me both. I don't know why.
These are children. They're seriously injured. They're clinging to life. And the fastest and best medical care is our trauma helicopters to get them to the hospital. And we don't even put them in the air. Now, that's unconscionable. That is just, that's negligence, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. My thing is, I didn't see any bodies. You know, I didn't see any bodies being pulled out. There was no media reports of the bodies being pulled out. So that's another thing. I don't see that. I remember in Columbine, they were pulling out the bodies.
Yep,
so,
you saw it. And again, Columbine is a great example of what happened at Columbine that we will never see at Sandy Hook. And you know, you talk about bodies. I want to know who did not allow the paramedics and the EMTs to go inside the school after 10 minutes when that school was deemed to be safe. Do you know that the paramedics and the EMTs were never allowed inside that school? That's unheard of. You got children who might be still alive. And there were two children still alive. They were transported to Danbury Hospital, but not till an hour after the event was deemed to be safe. Now, if you didn't let the paramedics and the EMTs in, who was taking care of those two children that were clinging to life? I mean, there are no answers. Nobody wants to answer these simple questions.
Well, I don't think there was two children clinging to life.
Well, are you ready for this? The Danbury yes. trauma doctors, they came out on national news in their white coats, and they reported that, yes, we received two of the children from Sandy Hook. They died in our trauma center. But, Rock, they didn't get there till an hour after the school shooting. Who was treating them? Who was keeping them alive? See, I don't understand why these questions cannot be answered. They're simple questions, and every American, every parent, every grandparent, every guardian has a right to know the truth.
Well, Wolfgang, why couldn't those doctors that came out and said that, you know, also be crisis actors?
Well, we're going to get to that. I'm going to show you how to solve that problem in a minute, okay? The third question, Rock, if you don't mind, is who declared all of those 18 children and six school teachers legally dead within 8 minutes of the first shot ever being fired? When Connecticut law says only a doctor can declare somebody legally dead. Now, tell me how that works. I didn't see any police officers wearing stethoscopes that day to listen to the heart. I mean, it's just unheard of. And, you know, the national news media never bothered to ask one question about that.
Oh, man.
Where are the 500 children? Rock. That school had 498 children that's supposed to be in attendance. They had about 75 teachers, and they got cafeteria staff. Rock, ain't nobody saw these 500 kids leave school that day. Usually they have an evacuation. It's called a serious evacuation. Kids are running. Every shooting that we see today across the country, helicopters above the school, you got kids running out with their hands above their head. Sandy Hook, nobody, no helicopter, no news media ever caught 500 kids leaving that school that day. Why? Why can't you answer that question?
Yeah, well, you know what? I've got a caller online, Jen from Washington, with two questions. Jen, can you please state your questions?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Regarding your question about classifying information about Sandy Hook and about Columbine, what is known as the basement tape of the killer, Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold, those tapes were classified the day of the massacre at Columbine High School, and they have been classified ever since. So this is information that has been classified about an event that occurred in 1999 and are still classified to this day by the Jefferson County Police Department. So with that said, I also want to address something else before I get to my question. The helicopter footage over Columbine was very graphic. It showed a dead body of Daniel Roerball. This was a teenager, and Rachel, she was killed in the corner. Her head was blown off. So probably that's why some of the live footage was not being shown to the public at the time. Nobody wants to see dead children. So my question is, do you believe the Sandy Hook shooting was a state-sponsored event? And if so, then why? What motive would there be? Thank you.
Well, to respond to your first question about classified, and you said the key word. It was classified by the Jefferson Sheriff's Department. But today you can actually go to the FBI Washington website, and under Hot Topics, all you have to click Hot Topics, you'll see Columbine. Now remember, Jefferson County Police Report is completely separate than the FBI report. If you click on the Hot Topics, you'll see the FBI investigative report. You'll see everything from the time the first shot was fired. You'll see the media center. You'll see the autopsy. You see the two kids who were shot to death, who committed suicide in the media center. I mean, the FBI at Columbine, everything is public for you to look at. Now, Sandy Hook. Now, what you got to remember, the 6,700-page report that just came out from the Danbury attorney, state attorney, and the Connecticut State Police, it is only the Connecticut State Police report. There is nothing in that report referencing the FBI. But when I called the FBI office in New Haven, I asked how I could get a copy of it. They said I would never see it in my lifetime and that it's classified. But I can promise you this, President Obama had it. I promise you Attorney General Eric Holder had it. And I will tell you that the former director, Robert Mueller, had it. Now, if those three guys have it, why can't we as Americans have it? Because Columbine was a great teaching lesson for all parents, all Americans. And we went to a whole new format of active shooter drills. We're supposed to now respond. We're supposed to neutralize the threat. The first arriving police officer is supposed to go in there, and they're supposed to neutralize, shoot, and kill that threat to try to save as many as we can. Now, talking about the children at Sandy Hook, did they really die? Well, I said this, and I'm going to say it again tonight. Until they answer those first 16 simple questions, if they don't answer them, then nobody died at Sandy Hook. If they can answer those first 16 questions, then it was a real event. I've been doing this for 10 months, asking the same questions, and guess what? I've got police officers coming to my house telling me to be quiet, not to ask questions. I think I touched a nerve.
One more question, though, regarding Columbine. The FBI had the information from the basement tapes with the killers in the basement of Eric Harris's house, talking about how they were going to commit the attacks and basically laying out their manifesto on a camera. The FBI took that information, and it was presented to the Jefferson County Police Department again in 2004. And the County Police Department once again said that it will never be released because they were afraid of copycat killers following these men and that these teenagers would become glorified in the eyes of the public.
Well, it's more than about, it was more, I was an expert witness at Columbine, and I worked, I don't know if you recall, there was a young man named Mark Taylor. He was shot 7 times. He's actually the boy that's seen on national news being dragged out of the side door of the school across the sidewalk like just a big piece of meat, and a fireman is dragging him out. And Donna Taylor is his mother, and we're trying to get him out of a court-ordered mental institution right now. If I know anything, I understand Columbine. I saw the heartaches. I saw all the lawsuits that were filed by the 14 parents who lost a child that day. I saw the lawsuits being filed by 23 parents whose children were severely injured. I mean, Mark Taylor was in the hospital for 55 days with 7 bullet holes in his chest. So I understand, Columbine, this thing about classification. There is nothing at Sandy Hook that should be classified by the FBI, and I hope you would agree with me on that.
Jen, I can also answer, you know, you on why they did Sandy Hook. And once again, it's all about gun control. This past year, since the shooting at Sandy Hook, the legislation has changed so much in Connecticut, and they're trying to make everybody register their weapons and everything else. And we're talking about, you know, honest, legal civilians that have to register their weapons. But the people there are telling them to go to hell. They're not registering their weapons, but the governor's threatening confiscation. But right there where Sandy Hook is right in the middle of all the gun manufacturers in Connecticut, New Haven. That entire area is all about guns. We'll be right back in a few minutes. We're going to go to a quick break, and we will be back with our guest, Wolfgang, and we will get to the rest of those 16 questions. Thanks to our engineer, Don Newsome, for an awesome show every week. We'll be right back, folks.
Got questions? The library's got answers. And books and magazines and CDs and videos and web access and databases and all sorts of other resources at your library. In a world that's information rich, libraries are information smart. Find the right answer and a whole lot more at your library.
With over 150 million registered users, Pal Talk is the largest video chat community in the world, with over 300 Pal Talk support staff speaking dozens of languages to help you enjoy your online experience. Meet new people across town or country or continent while chatting about your interests. Sing live karaoke, listen to music, join a lively political debate, or play group trivia in one of thousands of chat rooms in various categories from your PC, mobile, or tablet device. Joining Pal Talk is free and easy. Go to paltalk.com and become part of our friendly community today.
In America, most of us have the basics we need to survive. But there are millions of children all over the world who don't. Children who must work instead of going to school. Children who were forced to fight as child soldiers. Children who can't have an ordinary childhood because they lack health care, clean water, or good nutrition. For these children, there is UNICEF. UNICEF works in 157 countries and territories, providing children with what they need to survive and grow. To learn more, visit unicefusa.org or call 1-800-4-UNICEF.
Hello, this is Wesley Snipes. And when I'm divinely inspired and spiritually motivated, I listen to BBSRadio.com.
In a world of abundance, hunger is a crime. When a malnourished child dies, we're all guilty. Yet it happens every 5 seconds. Let's do the right thing. Put hunger away for good. Please. Give to the World Food Program.
This land is yours.
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact our world and make a difference. That's The People Speak every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you and me.
Welcome back to The People Speak. This is Rock Cash with our guest, Wolfgang Halbig. Wolfgang, The guy in the woods. Can we discuss that guy? What was up with him? They were chasing him through the woods, and, you know, I didn't hear much about him.
Well, you know, I mean, you got helicopter footages with seven police officers chasing this guy in the woods. They finally catch him, and the story is that supposedly he's a father of one of the children that goes to Sandy Hook Elementary School. He was supposed to be there that morning to help his daughter build gingerbread houses, okay? Now, I want you to think about all the listeners, and the lady that called in, I want to thank you for calling in, because I tell you what, you have to challenge, you have to ask questions, you got to be involved. But this is a father who's supposed to have been there to build gingerbread houses. He hears shots, but guess what he does? Instead of helping his daughter, he's running away into the woods. What father is going to run away from a school?
Well, not only that, what father would show up to build, you know, show up at the school in an area in New Haven, Connecticut, or that Newtown area that is supposedly a high dollar area? What father would show up in camouflage clothing?
I know. And guess where he parked his car that morning? Any father who comes to participate in a school activity, they're going to park in the visitor's parking space at the school. He parked his car up at the firehouse. Why would you ever do that? And then, you know, being a former Florida State Trooper, once you put handcuffs on somebody, which they did, they proned them out, you know, you do what you're supposed to be trained to do is run a 1028, 1029, which is an outstanding warrants check. You check the car registration, see if there's any outstanding tickets, outstanding warrants. You know, I look at every one of the police transcriptions, you know, from the dispatcher to law enforcement to dispatcher. That person's name was never run through the database. Now, you tell me, that's unheard of in law enforcement.
No,
we don't
way.
Do that. We have to check the people out through NCIC.
Well, I've got a question for you from Mike in California, and with the porta potty connection, is this the implication that they ordered porta potty toilets in anticipation for a massacre event, or were they expecting a lot of people?
I know what he's saying. I want to thank him for asking that question. Now, I want the listeners, I want you to think about it. You have one of the most heinous, most horrendous school shootings that supposedly started at 9:30, 9:35 a.m. that morning. Now, FEMA and Homeland Security has spent hundreds and hundreds of million dollars training everybody, school districts, communities, law enforcement agency, that when you have a mass casualty event, immediately you need to have an incident commander who delegates the resources that makes all of the decisions. Now, I want you to know that morning, within 3 hours, somebody must have found the yellow pages, because that incident commander ordered seven porta potties for the Sandy Hook Elementary School. Now, think about this. An incident commander is thinking about porta potties. He doesn't even order the trauma helicopters. He doesn't allow the paramedics and EMTs in, but they're going to order porta potties from Southbury, Connecticut. And when I call the porta potty company, you're not going to believe it. I ask you a question. I mean, part of my job is not to give you my opinion. I got to do my research. When I called that porta potty company and I said, can I speak to the person who takes the orders? It was a lady, and I identified myself. I always give my name. It's always important to be honest. I said, who ordered those porta potties? She says, well, I'm sorry. I'm not allowed to give that information. The police said that's classified. Since when are porta potties classified? And I wanted to know, did they use a credit card? I mean, when were they ordered? And you know what? The next day, I got a phone call from the Southbury Police Department telling me never ever to call that porta potty company again.
Really?
Now, this is unheard of. So,
it's completely unheard of. That would be one of the points of investigation that I would follow up on.
It is.
I have another question from
the next 16 question. Rock, I'm 67 years old. I don't even want to be doing this. I don't know how I even got in this position. All I did is I was on a podcast. I didn't even know what a podcast was. and they ask me questions, you know, and here I am, and you know what? They shouldn't have come to my house. When those policemen came to my house, I am now going to their house because they have woke me up.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing. I've got a question from Allison, Texas, but I think we pretty much answered the questions. She wanted to know what the end goal would be of fooling the American public. And, of course, it's all about taking away the gun rights here in the United States. They want to disarm the public.
But also there's another one that people don't see. Take a look at your school district where you're living at. If you're listening to this broadcast tonight, if Sandy Hook has done one thing, I mean, correction, it's done really two things. It has created panic and fear in all of our school districts across America. We're starting now suspending little children for pointing their finger at another kid on the playground. We're suspending kids for 5 days for pointing their finger, and then now they're having to see a mental health counselor before they can come back to school. We've created panic and fear. And you know what else Sandy Hook has done, Rock? It has divided families. I have never seen families so divided. Half the family believes it happened. The other half the family believes, no, it didn't happen. And we shouldn't divide our families. We should know the truth. And I think the Connecticut State Police and that state attorney, they should tell us the truth. I mean, Columbine, I mean, we learned so much. And here they're hiding everything about Sandy Hook.
It's absolutely crazy and ridiculous. But I've got one other question from a listener, and he wants to know what your credentials are in the safety as a school safety expert, and is there a website showing your background, and have you risked losing a job of any sort questioning Sandy Hook?
You can go to www.sandyhookjustice.com. You'll see my resume, my bio. I mean, I spent my lifetime, you know, from 1999, I retired from a school district after 32 years. And I left a school district as the director of school safety of a school district with 65,000 kids. I had that job for 6 years. And I want the listeners to know that how did that job ever get created? We started to have shootings. We had people die in our school district. We had a gang shooting. We had a boy executed. We have girls being slashed with box cutters. We had more drug abuse than ever before. And the superintendent said, you know what, Wolfgang, weren't you a state trooper in Miami? Well, you've been a school principal. You've been an assistant principal. You know, you understand how we on the education side work. Now you've been a law enforcement. Why don't you become our director of school safety? And I took the job because guess what? I believe in safe schools. And you can check me out. I mean, my phone number is published. You can call me. I'll be glad to talk to you. I have no secrets. I am who I am. Do I want to be here? Absolutely not. And, Rock, I got to say this. I pray to God that I'm wrong. I mean, I want you to know that. I hope I'm as wrong as I can be. But for 10 months... why would people not answer those 16 simple questions, which they're required to answer under the Freedom of Information Act? I mean, they ignore me. They don't return phone calls. Now, that's not education.
No, it's not. I've got one more question for you. The questions keep popping up from our audience. Lucy in Arizona wants to know if Sandy Hook's is a hoax. Had you, Mr. Halbig, thought finding the actors involved in documenting their participation, perhaps in a documentary, perhaps contacting Oliver Stone?
Well, I think I want to make sure I answer her question. This is a really, really important question. I'm recognized in both the state and federal courts as an expert witness on school shootings or school injuries. People have been really good. I don't advertise my business, okay? People call me out of the blue, and they ask me, would you like to help us? And I say yes, but I look at each case. I don't chase an ambulance. I help when I'm asked to help. But the point that I'm making, are you ready? In Columbine, lawsuits were filed. I have never seen at Sandy Hook, you've got 20 children dead. You have 6 staff members dead. Do you know not one lawsuit has been filed by any of the parents or loved ones? That is unheard of in the land of America. When children are seriously injured or they die in our public schools, private or parochial, lawsuits are filed. Not one has been filed at Sandy Hook, and I can tell you why. It goes to the part about actor. When a parent files a lawsuit in any school district across America, they better be prepared to be deposed. And then we have what you call discovery. We get to find out everything there is about that person, their wife, their children, their jobs, their birth certificates. I mean, their life is fully exposed. Now, guess why they didn't file a lawsuit?
Because they were actors.
They don't want to be exposed. They're actors.
Yep. Yep. I am in full agreement. Let's move on to your next question.
Well, the next question is, again, you have to, there is the full report, 6,700 pages. There are 9 volumes. And this was something that was just said by the Governor Malloy's Sandy Hook Commission. He appointed 16 people to the Sandy Hook Advisory Commission to study the shooting and come up with recommendation. The other day, front headlines, Connecticut Hartford paper, it said, this commission and the chairman says, this is the worst data dump that we have ever seen by the Connecticut State Police. It doesn't make sense. It's not organized. And the commission had to hire 2 law firms to go back and index it and put it in the proper format. Now, why would you give a commission data dump? It's to confuse them. It's to misdirect them. Sandy Hook, it's not a hoax. It is probably the best illusion that Homeland Security and FEMA has pulled off on the American public, and I would say it probably took them 2.5 to 3 years to plan this big illusion.
Well, it was planned. It seems like something was planned, especially with the governor's speech. You know, the governor's speech is the turning point for me. First, the governor's speech, and then the second statement of the father, while the father was laughing in the background. I'm not a father, but I am an uncle and a great uncle, and I just couldn't see it. As a great uncle, I would have been too devastated to get on that mic and speak, let alone being a father.
I agree. Well, the other point I want to make, too, if you look at the police report, I was going to say that earlier, but at 9:55:31, you can actually hear a law enforcement officer calling his dispatcher at the Newtown Police Department, and you have to listen to his words and the transmission. He's calling in the report that I have multiple weapons. I have multiple weapons. I have a rifle, and I have a shotgun. Now, what nobody's asking is, where's the shotgun? He's actually in room 10 because that's where Adam Lanza committed suicide. So here's the police officer. He sees Adam Lanza. He shot himself in the head. There are 3 handguns in the room. And he reports also that he's looking at a rifle and a shotgun. Now, Rock, those are his words, not Wolfgang's words. But nobody knows where that shotgun went.
What about the rifle? What about the 3 pistols? Because, you know, they were saying the first thing on the news was assault weapons, assault weapons, assault weapon. But then the report comes out that, oh, well, they only used automatic pistols.
But again, are you ready? They won't tell you the truth. When you look at the news footage, now, who's going to have a helicopter up in the middle of the night with the lights on looking at somebody searching a trunk of a car? The person who's searching the weapon doesn't even have gloves on. What happened to fingerprints? They had a witness named Barbara Sibley, who's a parent at 9:30. She said, I saw the black Honda Civic right there. All 4 car doors were wide open. And there was a 12-gauge shotgun in the front seat. Now, Rock, I know all of your listeners know that we watch CSI. You don't touch the crime scene. Who closed the cars? Who took that shotgun out of the front seat of the car and opened up the trunk and put it in there? You don't touch the crime scene. Never have I ever seen this type of behavior when you're dealing with a crime scene.
It's hard to answer any of the questions that you put in place for me or anything else. It just doesn't fit in place. And here's another thing that didn't fit in place. The Boston Massacre. It did not fit in place to me either. It seemed like there was a lot of screen actors there also.
Well, are you ready? But look what you just did. You, again, misdirected by bringing up what? Boston, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have half the country thinking about 9/11. We got people thinking about Boston. We got people thinking about the Aurora shooting. The government loves to divide America. And what's history tell us? You divide the country and government will conquer us. We can't allow that to happen, Rock. If there's ever an opportunity to come together as a nation, as Americans, we need to look at Sandy Hook, because if we can break their back on this with all the lies that they have told people need to go to jail. And I think Sandy Hook will have a domino effect. The house will fall if we can prove that Sandy Hook was an illusion. I cannot tell you how many lies have been told. All you got to do is read the police report. They don't match. It's like putting a puzzle together. The pieces don't fit, no matter how hard you try to do that. And that's using their words, not me or anybody out in your listening audience.
Yeah, I concur with you. I concur 1,000%, not 100%, but 1,000%. Nothing made sense to
Rock,
me.
You've got a lieutenant of the Newtown Police Department at 9:45:31 on December 14th, 2012. He's inside the hallway of the Sandy Hook Elementary School. What does he see? This is his words in his statement. He sees a little first grade girl in the hallway. What does he do with that first grade girl? He grabs her and he pushes her into room 8 and he leaves her in room 8. I hope you listeners all know what room 8 is. Room 8 is one of the crime scenes. This is where dead bodies are. People have been shot. Teacher was shot. 72 rounds were fired inside of room 8. And he shoves that little first grade girl back into room 8 and leaves her.
Well, it seems like they're trying to tell us a story and then feed the malarkey right back at us.
Yeah, but see, I think government is counting on us not read the report. I think the government believes that we can be fooled and that we're not willing to stand up and fight this issue. I mean, we've got so many people on YouTube. There's so many theories. But you know what? It's time to go to their house. We need to go to Newtown. I'm going to find that incident commander. He's going to be the first one that I'm going to get him to raise or her raise their right hand, and they're going to swear under God to tell the truth and the whole truth, and they cannot hide behind the Fifth Amendment, because guess what? In civil lawsuit, it doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't. Wow.
I'm old, but I tell you what, it has caused friction in my home. My wife is ready to fire me. But you know what? When you come to my house and you threaten me, not once, but twice, and then get a phone call because of porta potties, I'm coming. And I don't care what happens. I've had a great life. I've enjoyed all the great people I've met in my lifetime. I got to teach thousands of children and students. I think I've made a difference. And now, hopefully, I can make another difference.
Well, that's right. You were also an educator. The thing is, they want to threaten us to stay quiet, and there is no reason for that threat, and there is no reason for them coming to your house unless they have something to hide. And that's the way I see it, and I'm sure that's the way many of our listeners see it. We can't appease everybody, but it is what it is. There's always people that are out there that are placed strategically to derail any type of topic that there is out there that might have to do anything against the government, whether it's, you know, you're a conspiracy theorist or you're, you know, they try to ridicule you in any way or try to derail your conversation in any way or any show. So what we need to do is to remember as American people, and as you said, we need to unite. With that being said, I would like to thank you for being on our show this week. I believe we have a few more minutes to maybe get a question in. But go ahead with your next question.
Well, the next one is, and I'm going to end with this one. There are two Connecticut state troopers. They're in the room. They're in the hallway. And they enter classroom 10. They walk into classroom 10. And they find a boy, a first-grade boy, hiding in the bathroom. They look at him. His name has been redacted in the police statement. And they tell that boy to stay in the bathroom, and they will be right back when the school is safe. Now, see, they say that in the statement, but the people who are reading it or they're listening to this conversation between you and I tonight, they don't even know what room 10 is. Room 10 is a crime scene. Multiple dead bodies. 85 rounds were shot with a Bushmaster rifle, supposedly, because the shells are on the floor, supposedly. How can you leave a first-grade boy in the bathroom with all those dead bodies in there? You just don't do that. And if there are law enforcement officers listening to me, please hold me accountable. If this is the way that we operate today, my God, we are in serious, serious trouble when we promise to protect our children on behalf of all the parents and school administrators and teachers. That's not how we work.
Well, I have many friends that are actually former New York police officers, and I have a lot of friends that are police officers where I reside now. And one of my friends that was a police officer in New York looked at the story, and he's like, none of this makes sense. You know, just everything that's happened in the news, none of it made sense to him. So we have a lot of police officers that have said the same thing, that none of this makes sense to them.
And I've got many of them calling me, and they said, Wolfgang, I am so glad that you're, you know, but I don't want to be... I just don't want to be where I'm at, but I can't let go either, okay? So I am going to go to Newtown. I am going to hold them accountable. And if people are interested and they want to help support us, you know, Newtown, people across this country have a great heart. Do you know they donated over $29 million to nonprofit organizations in Newtown? And guess what? Nobody knows where all that money went to. I'm trying to hire attorneys and two private investigators, and we've established a legal fund. It's called www.sandyhookjustice.com. If you want to give a dollar, thank the Lord. We'll love you for it, okay? But we can't fight this without some financial help. And I promise the listeners, I will not take one penny. I'm retired. I have a nice lifestyle. I don't need to be doing this. But when you come to my house, I'm coming to your house, and I'm going to do it.
I have a question for you. When is the lawsuit, and when are you planning to go to Newtown?
Well, the first step, there's three phases that you got to go through. The first phase is going to Newtown and actually appearing in front of the school board members and giving the superintendent and the chairman of the school board 5 freedom of information requests. And, you know, one is who installed the security system? What was the contractor's name? What was the cost? The other one is, who did the environmental asbestos inspection? Because the school had a high level of lead paint. It had a very high level of asbestos in the ceiling tiles and ceiling floor tiles, masking tape. It had a very high level of PCP, water, ground contamination. Now, Connecticut law requires that the school district notify every parent of those biohazards, because of health conditions that may affect the child's allergies, or, you know, they may be vulnerable or susceptible to that. And but we're going to find out if all of that took place. And that's our first phase. And then we'll file the civil lawsuits.
Great. Great. Well, Wolfgang, I'm sorry to cut this short. Maybe we can bring you back on another time. Stay on the line, and we'll talk to you right after the show. To our listeners, thanks for being here. We'll see you next week with our guest, Dr. Rebecca Carley, who had her license pulled for exposing inoculations and children vaccinations. So join us next week. Thanks again to our awesome sound engineer, Bob Newsom. This is Rock Cash at The People Speak. See you next week.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the steeple by the relief office, I saw my people, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, redwood forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.